creation. So if you want, you can open your Bibles up to Genesis. That's at the beginning. It's at the front of your Bible, just so you know, for those of you who are Bible challenged. Who's got their Bible? Raise it up high. Let's see. Nice. All right. We're at church. What do you bring to church? That's right. Bring your Bible to church. Okay. First things first, I want to talk to you about the garden. How many know what the garden is in Scripture? Garden of Eden. Yes, it's where Adam and Eve were essentially put to live. It's where they were put to garden, essentially. I mean, they're really just gardeners. God told them to eat food out of the trees and to name some animals and hang out there. When God created man, he put him in the garden. In that place, when God created it, there was no evil. There was no sickness, no death, no shame, and certainly no rejection. In the garden, it was as close to, like, it's paradise. I mean, there was a river running through it. Adam is getting to name some animals. That was his job. God told Adam to name the animals, and whatever he called them, that's what he was going to call them. That'd be a pretty good job, if you ask me. I would have liked to have had Adam's job naming animals. I think that would have been a lot of fun. And when I get to heaven, I think I'll have a few questions for Adam. Like, everyone's like, oh, I'm going to run up to David and be like, hey, David, what's going on? I'm like, no, I'm going to go talk to Adam because I want to know what he was thinking when he did something like platypus, sloth, naked mole rat. Adam, what were you thinking, man? Like, those are some crazy names. Were you just like at the end of your creativity and you're just like, boom, platypus, I'm going to name it that. Needless to say, life in the garden was pretty amazing. God himself called it good. That means it was pretty good. We talked about that in, you know, back when we were talking about the Sabbath, how the garden was good, how earth and everything God had created was good. So it was just amazingly wonderful. Until Eve decided to take a stroll. She's, you know, cruising through the garden, probably popping some grapes. Like, these are good grapes. Oh, look, hey, there's the platypus. Wonder why Adam named him that. And then all of a sudden, she comes upon a serpent. And this is where we pick it up. It's Genesis 3, verse 1. It says this. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the air of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, right there, first clue to Eve should have been, talking snake. Something is not right here. This snake is talking to me. I saw a platypus earlier. It wasn't talking to me, but this snake is talking. That should have been her first clue. It goes on. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree in which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Eve right here responded exactly how all of us are supposed to respond in times of temptation. She answered that temptation with the word of God, what God had told her. However, it goes on. And the woman said to the serpent, wait, it goes on. The devil lies and twists God's words. Eve gives into the lie and saw it as a way to gain wisdom. It says here in verse 6, so when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruits and ate. She also gave to her husband, who ate with her. Eve gave into the lie that the devil was feeding to her. He was twisting God's word, which is here in verse 4 and 5, and he said this. And the woman said to the, I apologize. He twisted God's word is essentially what we're getting at. And Eve believed a lie. She didn't rely on the word that God had given to her, on the words that God had provided, that wisdom telling them that they would die if they ate of that tree. Instead, she saw the tree as a way to gain wisdom outside of God. It was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. The serpent told her that if you eat of it, you will be like God, that you will know what he knows. And that was true, that they would gain knowledge of good and evil. Unfortunately, when they gain that knowledge, it leads to death. Because to gain that knowledge, you have to sin. You have to disobey God, and that's what they did. Eve had rejected God's word and ultimately rejected God himself. Another question I think I will have for Adam when I get to heaven is, what kind of fruit was it? Like, the Bible doesn't tell us, and I would really like to know if the reason I almost went to hell was because of a plum. Like, if you think about a plum, that is not a great fruit. Well, if you like plums, good for you. But I would really like to know what kind of fruit it was. Adam. I wish Adam, when Eve had come to him and like, hey, check this out, I got a plum, it's really good. I wish he would have responded the way we are all supposed to respond in times of temptation. We flee. What if he'd done this? What if he'd gone, like Eve got like, hey, check out the plum. He's like, sin! No, not the plum! That would have been great. We wouldn't be in this situation right now if Adam had just refused to give in to that temptation. That's not what he did, though. He ate it, too. Because of all this, because of their sin, because of their rejection of God's word, sin entered the world. Evil entered the world. Death entered the world. Shame, sickness, and rejection entered this world. All because of that. So why would God create, if this was even a possibility? Why would he create them with, like, two trees? Why would he put, like, oh, here's tree of life, here's tree of essentially death? Why would he do that? Well, I'm going to tell you. He did it because when he was creating us, he wanted to create us with free will. He wanted to create us with the ability to make choices. The purpose of creation was to reflect God's glory, to glorify himself. And when he created man, he didn't want him to just simply be a mindless robot doing, you know, whatever he had basically essentially programmed us to do. He wanted us to have personality. He wanted us to be able to choose. That's why there was two trees. So that we could choose to love God. Because as we get to know him, we want to grow more and more and more and more in love with him. God created man to have relationship with God. Ultimately, that's what God wanted in the first place, was just to have a relationship with the people he had created. Colossians 1:16 tells us that God made creation for himself. He made creation to have a people that would belong to him. The opposite feeling of belonging is rejection. I'm sure we've all felt a level of rejection in life. We all do. We all go through it. Actually, I have a video here for you guys of some people going through rejection. I hope you enjoy this.
Yeah. 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 It's gravity. It's gravity. It's gravity. It's gravity. Keeps pulling me down. Pulling me down. Listen, I pen songs for the perishing and parishioners, them hearers and them listeners, the home and the visitors. This is not a game, you can't tame or make it pretty. They say the earth cursed, so our mouths stay dirty. It's mud on the track, a slug in your back. Police done pulled you over with a gun in your lap, and you ain't got the power to make it through this.
You're a little marriage proposal going on at midcourt right now, Jerry.
I really can't imagine doing that. You know, that's under pressure, isn't it?
Well, whatever you did worked because you're still married. How many years?
40 years.
40 years. So I think people ought to be asking you how to do it.
Well, I tell you, if I'd have did it that way, I wouldn't have got. She'd have probably need me while I'm down there. But
you know what? I'm just waiting once for the gal to say no. Okay.
And, yeah.
You know that would be.
Well, she has to say yes there. She may say no as soon as they walk off the court.
I think she's saying, I can't do it right now.
Said, I really do like you a lot, but let's just be friends.
Look at this. Wow. Well, how do you like that?
I feel for that guy. That would be rough. This is why I proposed to my wife at the place that we took our first date. We went for a run on our first date, and it was down like this trail. And so we got to the spot where, like, I don't know, it just seemed like the perfect spot, and I got down on one knee. Good thing was there wasn't like 50 million people watching. There was zero pressure. So if she said no, I could have been like, well, only I have to deal with this rejection. I don't have to deal with it in front of everyone. Poor guy. Needless to say, we all experience rejection. Maybe some of you have experienced rejection from your family. You felt not good enough by something that your parents, your siblings, your grandparents, somebody in your family has told you that you don't belong, that you are not good enough. Maybe it's at school. I know it's at school. It happens at school a lot. There's some of you in here who have experienced rejection at school. There's that group of students who are, you know, circled off on one side, chit-chatting. And you're like, oh, it's my first day. I might go join them and see if I can join their conversation. You walk up, silence. It's like they were talking about you the whole time. And they're like, we get really clicky at school. You ever notice that? We all kind of gravitate towards, like, our own group of friends. Hey, no? You don't see that? Okay. We'll pray for the Lutherans later, okay? All right. But we all experience rejection. We all go through this. I remember I played basketball. That's why a lot of those shots resonated with me. I am not the tallest guy on the court, so I experienced rejection a lot playing basketball. It's the best because you're like, oh, man, I'm going to score a basket. And then, like, this guy comes out of nowhere who's like a behemoth and just swats the ball, and you're like, crud. It's just a terrible feeling. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible feeling. I know when I was in sixth grade, I think it was, the basketball team was very clicky, but they had essentially, you know, ostracized me and one other student, and they were, you know, they wouldn't talk to us. They would talk bad about us. They would make fun of us on the court. They would make fun of us a lot. And it just wasn't good. It was a terrible feeling. I remember going through that in middle school and just going, I don't even want to play basketball anymore. And you know what I did? I switched schools after seventh grade. I went to our crosstown rival and just went to school there instead because I just felt terrible. I ran from the problem. I ran from the issue. Rejection is not fun. It's terrible. It doesn't feel good. Maybe some of you are going through a season of rejection right now. You're feeling unwanted, like you don't belong. I want to tell you right now, that is a lie. It's a lie. You do belong. And when we know Jesus and we listen to what he has to say, that is when we discover how he views us. It's how we discover who we are. What does Jesus say about us? What does he say? He says this. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children. Lauren, you can come grab a guitar if you'd like. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He calls you his own. He calls you his child. You may not have a great representation of what a father looks like on this earth, but God is a perfect father, and he loves you, and he calls you his child. You belong to him. Galatians 3:26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When we accept Christ, that is him saying, just welcoming you, just saying like, hey, wrapping you in his arms and saying, you're mine. I love you. You belong to me. 1 Peter 2:10. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You belong to God. He created you. Thus, you create something, does it not belong to you? He created you. You belong to him. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and children then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. The story did not end with Adam and Eve sinning and rejecting God. Oftentimes when we are rejected, our natural response is to say, no, I reject you. That is not God's response. God's response was, Adam, where are you? He went searching for those that belong to him. He's searching right now for those who belong, and he's waiting for them to just accept him. I'm going to have the adult leaders just kind of line the back here. Guys, you may feel out of place at times. You may feel like you don't belong at times. But it's not a matter of where you belong. It's a matter of to whom you belong. And you belong to Jesus. I'm going to ask us all to stand real quick. There's going to be two options here. Number one, if you would like to know more about how you can have a relationship with God, how you can discover this person that created you, I'd like you to just approach a leader in the back. They're the ones who look like they're older. And then, the rest of you, I just want you to worship the God you belong to give everything you are to him. And I really think as you worship, God is going to just bring freedom to your hearts, to bring freedom to some people in this room who have been walking through a level of rejection. And God is going to reveal to you that you belong to him, and that his heart is for you, not against you, that he loves you and he cares for you and he wants to be a part of your everyday life. So we're going to worship. You guys are free to move.